You're listening to the Bragman Breakdown Podcast. Here's your host, Jackson Bragman.
Bragman Breakdown, episode 58. I'm your host, Jackson Bragman. Thank you for joining us following in another crazy opening weekend of March Madness, the first of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Never fail to disappoint. And we did a big mega preview pod a couple days ago, and today we are here to recap the first weekend. So joining me today, we have Gabe the Goose Efros, of course, joining us live in studio. Gabe, how's it doing? It's a pleasure to have you on, as always, co-host of the show, but it's been a while since you've been on the pod.
Yeah, it's great to be back, and I'm not sure there's a better time to come back right after the first weekend of March Madness. A lot went down, a lot of thoughts to be had. Just overall, a lot to talk about, and I have a lot of thoughts.
Awesome. And also joining us live via the Zoom machine from Clark Atlanta University, we have the one, the only, Gabe Green.
Yes, sir. What's up?
We kind of got the band back together. It's been a while since the three of us have been on. I feel like it's somewhat recent. Didn't we do something somewhat recently together? I feel like before the last episode was a while, but didn't we do something like less than a month ago?
Maybe. Sure. Doesn't seem like it.
I think we might have. Who knows at this point?
Yeah. So anyways, we're here now. It's all that matters. And what a fun week. Let's start off with our teams. Because I think that's what kind of people we are. We're very selfish, self-centered people, and we want to talk about our squad. So I'm going to let you guys go ahead with your Michigan Wolverines. Michigan's in the Sweet 16. Michigan State did not make it as far as Michigan did in the NCAA tournament this year. Michigan and Purdue are the only two Big Ten teams that remain in the tournament. Who would have thought? And the Wolverines, as an 11 seed, they were on the bubble. They snuck into the tournament and they make it all the way to the second weekend. And they were one of the last 16 teams standing. So guys, what has impressed you most about this Wolverines group throughout these first two games, starting off against Colorado State and then followed up by a big time win over the red hot Tennessee Volunteers?
For me, and I watch less than Goose, but for me, I think the first thing you notice is Dickinson's passing, because in years prior, there was a lot of times where they double him and he'd pass, but he'd take like a second to notice the open guy if it wasn't the guy like directly near him, like the guy in like in the near corner or whatever. And I think his ability to just get better at passing is great, as well as just some of the effort plays. I mean, their last game, what really won them the game against Tennessee, I thought, was Terrence Williams. Is it Terrence Williams? Yeah, back-to-back, just put-back layups that I think kind of, you know, sealed the comeback when they're struggling to score, and then he had two big put-back layups. And I think defensively they're playing well. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep shooting the ball well, because that's been the main struggle. But I just think the way they're playing off Dickinson has been really good.
Yeah, for me, the big thing coming into the tournament was wing play, and I don't think we've seen that hurt Michigan thus far, but our wings have not been playing particularly well, and Dickinson has been playing out of his mind, like you said, with pretty much every facet of the game. But also, the only other reason, in my opinion, that Michigan is where they are right now would have to be Frankie Collins stepping in so well for Devontae Jones while he's been injured. I'd even say his play as of late has been better than most of Jones' like previous before conference play. His performance right now is a lot better than that, and I think that's one of the reasons that Michigan has done so well this far.
And Gabe Green obviously brought up an interesting point earlier. Is Michigan is playing such good basketball, and really, like, you know, with Juwan coming back after his suspension, they've looked good. Even that Indiana game, they fell apart at the end of the game, but they looked really good in the first half, and they've looked incredible these last two games, and they've done so without shooting the ball. I feel like that's going to be a big theme today. I think it's a good sign for your team if you're normally a pretty good three-point shooting team, but you did not necessarily shoot the three ball at an exceptionally high clip. This weekend, Michigan was 10 of 30 from three in these two basketball games. So they made a third of their three balls, and they were still able to beat two of the top 25 or 30 teams in the nation. So that's certainly a good sign in my eyes, especially when you have a guy like Devontae Jones, who's going to be fully healthy and ready to go by next weekend. He looked good, but he wasn't obviously fully back into his role that he had before the tournament began and before he got hurt. So that, like Gabe said, Frankie Collins in that Colorado State stepped up big time. And then even that, in that Tennessee game, Frankie Collins played more than he normally would. And Frankie Collins is not a great shooter of the basketball, but is a great player and affects the game in so many different facets. So I think once you see Devontae Jones start to get implemented back in the offense and start to play over 30 minutes a game again, then I think that we are going to see Michigan find a lot more success because they're going to be able to knock down the three ball. Maybe you can get Caleb Houston in a rhythm. And even to start that Tennessee game, Dickinson knocked down two threes early on. So maybe if he can continue to stretch the floor, then that is going to certainly help them. But I mean, Tennessee is a great team. Kennedy Chandler is a guy that I'm going to be scouting for the draft process for sure. He's a really good player. I really like Zeigler. He had no fear. He went at Dickinson a bunch of times in this game and had some, didn't go so well sometimes, but had a lot of really nice finishes and was overall impressive driving to the rim. And Tennessee is just a very good basketball team. But Michigan played an incredible game. And this is how, if you told me, because at the beginning of the season, Michigan, what was their preseason AP ranking?
Four.
If you told me that Michigan was like a two seed coming into this tournament, they played that way. Like if I just saw that game of Michigan playing, I would have thought that they were at least, a two or three seed, if not a one seed. That's how well they played in that game. So I think that it's a testament to Juwan Howard and the job that he's done with this group since he's come back, and they're starting to finally maybe two games into this little run that they've put together. This might be a little bit of an overreaction, but I feel like they're finally starting to find that form that they've been seeking for all season, which has been getting to that top tier of college basketball teams, because they certainly have the talent. They just have to put the pieces together. And it seems like maybe it was Phil Martelli who allowed this to happen. Maybe it was Frankie Collins being inserted in the lineup. But Michigan has certainly started to figure things out.
Yeah. I personally, like I said, I think that has to do a lot with Frankie Collins' phenomenal play. But yeah, overall, just getting the team ready for big moments, I think is, maybe it's not exactly coaching X's and O's, but it's something that should be factored into when weighing coaches. And it's something that I think Juwan has done excellently thus far.
One of the marquee games on yesterday's slate, on the on the Sunday afternoon slate, was Michigan State versus Duke. This was Coach K's final round of 32 game. Coach K's had a lot of finals this year that have all been made a huge deal by the national college basketball media. His final game at Chapel Hill, his final game in Cameron Indoor Stadium, his final first game of the season, his final first ACC game, his final ACC tournament, his final tournament, his final first round, his final second round, his final Sweet 16. So there have been a lot of firsts for Coach K. This was his finals. This was his final round of 32 game. And by the way, this is all, until he comes back next year, which is what I think it could happen. Like, in all seriousness, I think I don't think he will, but I think there's a chance that Coach K is back next year, regardless. He's had a lot of finals. This is his final round of 32 game and his final time facing his storied rival, Tom Izzo, who he has dominated over the past couple of decades when they've gone head to head. Coach K is now, he's now 13-3 against Izzo in his career, I believe. And Izzo and K are the only two active guys right now that have both been to eight Final Fours in their career. So obviously two of the all-time greats, two Hall of Famers who did battle. And I actually thought Izzo coached a better game than what we've seen from him over the majority of the season, but it was not enough. I just think Michigan State played well. I think Michigan State played their A game. Duke maybe played their like B plus, A minus game. I think Duke played pretty well as well. And Duke just showed why they're one of the best teams in the country. They really almost put everything together. I think if they played like this, And a lot of their losses this season, if they played like this against Virginia Tech in the ACC championship game, then I think that they would have had a lot more success. So Duke is now on a roll. Important to note that they have Texas Tech and first-year head coach Mark Allen coming up next, which will be a very tough matchup. If they get past that, then they will likely face Gonzaga in the Final Four, in the Elite Eight. They actually already beat Gonzaga earlier this season. And if Duke does beat Texas Tech, then that will mean that they have had to play well in that game, because Texas Tech is a defensive juggernaut, one of the best defensive teams in the country. So their offense, if their offense gets to 69, 70 points, then they will likely end up winning that game. And that will mean that they fought through some adversity and had to have played well, and they will be hot heading into that Elite Eight matchup against the Zags, which will be an incredibly fun battle. So I'm looking forward to that. On the Michigan State side of things, they go down. The seventh seed falls, and our friend AB was not happy about that. Friend of the show, Anthony Blady, he was on the last podcast. He deleted Snapchat, actually. Could not handle the heat.
He deleted Snapchat? I didn't even see that. I don't even check often. That's actually hilarious.
So he's distraught. I don't think he would have been as upset if Michigan lost, but the fact that Michigan has now gone farther in the tournament than MSU is pretty rough. So
he's not just used to it at this point. Like, I don't know. Michigan State's recent tournament, I mean, thank God they had the 1 year with Cassius. And I know the COVID year they were playing well, but thank God they made the Final Four that one time, because it's been rough for them as of late. The Syracuse loss. Then they lose to Middle Tennessee State 1 year.
They did.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, last year, don't even get into the actual tournament, lose to UCLA, which UCLA was very good. But it does seem like they get very tough, right? Tough pass to make the Final Four or whatever. But even within that, man, it's just been rough for State fans. I can't believe there was ever a narrative that Michigan was the football school and State was the basketball school. Like, no, Michigan's the basketball school too. just be honest. They're a better basketball program than Michigan State.
As well, in that UCLA playing game as they did last night. If it was that Michigan State team instead of last year's Michigan State team, Michigan State would have absolutely beaten UCLA by double digits. So that's how Michigan State lost a game in overtime. They played awful. That was so bad. So I was not expecting anything from UCLA in the tournament, but then they went on this incredible run. And they obviously got a lot better as the tournament went on. But there's a certain element of bad luck obviously involved with the Spartans, I feel like. But at the same time, I just feel like it's unfortunate that Izzo's been a little bit out of touch. He doesn't want to play guys like Bingham, who are not he wants to play guys like Marble over Bingham, which I understand. I actually think Marble's a better player than Bingham because of his touch around the rim, because of his size, because he's a better defender. He doesn't get in foul trouble as easily. So I understand why he wants to play more, but he doesn't want to play Bingham the minutes that Bingham deserves, because he doesn't like these slender, long, lengthy guys that can block shots. And he doesn't like those Chet Holmgren type players because he hasn't adapted to the way that the way that college basketball has changed and is moving forward nowadays.
Yeah, so, if I had to watch that game, I don't watch MSU very often, but the amount of open shots Hogard passed up for bad layups was kind of unbelievable. I'm sure he just can't shoot, but man,
I mean,
he passed up a lot.
Finishes, but I did notice that as well. It is weird how he it almost seemed like a lot of guys. The only guy that's willing to spot up on that team is Gabe Brown. Most of the guys are not very willing to shoot the three ball on that team, except for Bingham, but Bingham can't shoot at all. So that's unfortunate. It's tough because every single year at Michigan State didn't really turn the ball over against Duke. That was another thing. But every year it's with the turnovers. It's bad fouls.
Is he washed?
Yes.
So it's coaching. It's coaching mistakes. Yeah. He's washed.
Yeah, I think Michigan State, there's no way Tom Izzo's at all time. It's a different story. But right now, Tom Izzo's not a top five coach in the country. He's just not.
I don't know if he's top 10. How can you say he's top 10?
100% agree. I think that
they're also not recruiting that well either, which I know recruiting in college basketball is different than football. And I look at it from a football lens. But they haven't had a They've had one top with their current guys. They've had one top 15 class. The other, they have one class that wasn't even top 30. I don't think they're not recruiting well enough either. So, you know, you talk about, well, Duke's just a better team. Yeah. Cause you're not recruiting very well.
Yeah. And Duke brings in like what, so they brought in Paolo, AJ Griffin, all these guys that obviously have Wendell Moore who came back from last year, like that. They were just more talented. So yeah. I mean that
was better.
So yeah, Izzo.
You don't get they're more talented excuse all the time when you've been there and you're supposed to be this elite coach. It's just, you know, the response is, oh, you just got to recruit better. To me, at least, that's how I view it.
I agree with that, and I think that part of it is I don't think Izzo's dropping bags on guys like Will Wade and like Cal are, but at the same time,
oh yeah, everything we're saying, by the way, can be applied to Cal as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a blue blood, then, or if you want to call yourself a blue blood, then you have to have a better recruiting class.
I don't know how you could call MSU a blue blood when their only title can drink. And before Izzo, they weren't exactly that good either. So they just had a nice run. I mean, let's call it what it is.
Yeah,
that's like calling Miami football blue blood in football because they were good from mid 90s to, you know, mid early 2000s. They're not blue blood.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is Michigan's time to shine.
Michigan's time to shine. When was it Michigan State's?
That's right. I don't know if we've ever seen a dominant like 5 month run from a program like Michigan's in quite a while. And I think it is, while it's been fun to enjoy, I think it will continue personally. I don't see Tom Izzo and whoever they get rebounding quite as well as Michigan did with Juwan Howard, frankly. I could be wrong though. Who knows?
Yeah. So I think that the, I don't think Izzo will ever get back to the Final Four because especially at this day and age, like he doesn't, what players is he looking to recruit? We don't know because he's clearly like just not in touch with the game the way that some of these younger coaches are. I just don't think that, a lot of the offensive sets he runs work because they don't get guys open. These guys don't want to take contested threes. It just comes down to a lot of like, I'm not smart enough to say it to like, clearly I don't know the X's and O's as well as I do with Tom Izzo. But what I noticed with Michigan State is that the quality of the looks and the shots they're getting is just far inferior to a lot of guys like Mick Cronin's teams, like even like Calipari's teams or Kay's teams or just other guys who know what they're doing out there and have changed with the times and have adapted to the way the basketball is changing. And Michigan State just hasn't done that, unfortunately. So I am not saying fire Izzo, but I wouldn't be bummed out if it turns out he's retiring or something like that. As for Duke, I think that they are an incredible basketball team. I think that they could end up making the Final Four. I would not be very surprised.
I think especially at this point, they only need two more games to win. However, I said it before, this is my universal rule. Going through Gonzaga twice, I'm not sure they can do that. Right.
I think it's a dumb rule.
You think it's dumb? I disagree. It's proof. I don't think it's ever failed a single time. It's a good rule. I don't think they'll beat Gonzaga again. Well, I may have to add an addendum because they did play at the beginning of the year, but in most cases, I would say it's really hard to beat a team twice.
I disagree with that. 100%. What's your basis for this? Just like,
I don't have any. It's just true.
Okay. All right, Gabe, who's coming out of the West region? Gonzaga, Texas Tech, or Duke? And who's the other team?
Gonzaga. Okay. Arkansas.
Sorry, who do you like, Gabe?
Me or him?
Yeah.
We gotta. Is that mommy?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. No, because bro, the two people with the same name thing is ridiculous.
I'm trying to say Goose.
I will say Gonzaga's on upset alert. I thought if Memphis was coached a little better, they probably win that game. And credit to Penny Hardaway. I actually think he did a fine job. But I think Arkansas can beat Gonzaga. I think Duke gets out. which how Duke and Gonzaga are in the same region is weird. I don't understand the geographic things of the tournament at all, but I digress. I think Duke gets out, but I don't know. We're your best players. I mean, AJ Griffin and Paolo are both freshmen, I believe. So that part of it is tough. So I think it'll be them or Gonzaga.
With Duke, geographically, I don't know, but Duke was barely a two seed. They were the bottom two seed in one overall seed. So that explains at least why they're in the same region. I don't know why they're both in the West. And like, I'm pretty sure North Carolina is playing UCLA and UCLA, and they're in the East, which so it is weird how they do it, but you know, just what it is. So that's your Michigan State. Do we have any closing thoughts on that? Do we want to move on to some of the other upsets and just kind of blitz through some stuff?
I believe we have a ranking of coaches we'd want to play for.
Yeah, we'll do that then.
Spoiler: Tom Izzo's not on the list.
Okay. Let's just spend a few minutes on these other games. Obviously, as you can tell, pretty casual pod today. We're not doing anything too expansive, but I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on the tournament so far. What was the, besides the St. Peter's Kentucky one, we can talk about that. What was the most surprising upset to you guys?
I thought Iowa was going to do a lot better than they did. Yeah. It's a first round upset. A lot of March and March Madness itself is playing good at the right time. And Iowa really seemed like they were playing really well at the right time. I mean, you've seen it in 2017, 2018 with the Michigan team. They were a great team all year, but they played really, really well at the end of February and March. And I thought Iowa would be a similar case, except that didn't happen. They got upset. I did not expect that to happen at all. Yes, that would be my probably biggest one that surprised me the most. Beyond that, some of them I didn't really surprise me. I wasn't that surprised that Baylor lost. They have a lot of players injured. Nothing comes to mind right now, but that the Iowa one was definitely the most surprising.
Iowa coming into the tournament high. Sometimes I almost feel like that can be a bad thing because you can just fizzle out. Like you don't want to be too hot coming into the tournament. Like if you're on like a crazy win streak, you know, but if you just play good in your last few games, you know, I think that's a good sign. And, you know, they, you know, obviously win the Big Ten and then they come in the tournament, they just looked flat. They just looked bad. So to me, that was very disappointing because I had them going further in my bracket. I think I had them going to Elite Eight. I might be wrong, but
I had won the Final Four actually. So I was quite high on them. I thought that they were going to have a big time run. You brought up an interesting point, Gabe. It's about playing well at the right time, and I tend to agree with that. But what we've seen is obviously we have the six major conferences in college basketball, the Big 12, the Big East, the ACC, with the Big 12, the Big 10, the Big East, the ACC, the SEC, and the Pac-12. And three of those conference champions are out already. Virginia Tech and Iowa both lost in the first round, and then we saw Tennessee lose to Michigan in the second round. Tennessee played incredible against Longwood. I actually watched a lot of that game. They won by over 30. They looked, after that game, I thought that they could have won the national championship. So it's a testament to Michigan's performance against them. And then Virginia Tech lost in the first round to Texas. They were an 11 seed. A lot of people were picking Virginia Tech to upset Texas, including myself. That did not happen. And then Iowa got upset by Richmond, who would not have been an at-large team had they not won the A-10 conference championship game against Davidson. But Richmond was very impressive. They played a great game. And in that game, what was odd to me was that Iowa just did not go to Keegan Murray late, which was very confusing because he was by far the best player on the floor. And the last two like offensive possessions of the game, not like an actual time when they actually had a chance to win their last two offensive possessions of the game. I'm not talking about like after the intentional fouling and whatnot, and when they were already down a lot, but when they actually had a chance to win, like with you know, a minute and a half or so to go, they did not go to Keegan Murray for two straight possessions. He didn't touch the ball once. And they settled for his brother, Chris Murray, Took a terrible three in the corner. People are saying he got fouled. I haven't gone back and watched it. Maybe he did. But it was very perplexing decision from that standpoint. I don't know if that's on Fran McCaffrey or if that's on the fellow Iowa players, but I thought that was very odd. And Jordan Bohannon and Keegan Murray showed up in this game, but kind of the rest of the Iowa team was not very present. They did not play well. And it was, I was disappointed because I thought Iowa was going to rep the Big Ten. I thought they were going to make the Final Four and have a big season, but they did not. And by the way, interesting fun fact, Fran McCaffrey in his whole collegiate coaching career has never been past the round of 32 ever, which is pretty crazy in like 30 years of head coaching.
I will say, I agree with a lot of what Jackson said, and I will say this, that's pretty much been the story for the Big Ten the past 2 years at this point. A lot of good teams, but they all get upset. Bids,
and yeah. Now they only have two teams left.
It's Michigan. They've had to carry. It's been there. It's been our responsibility to put up with the rest of the conference's tomfoolery. And, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Thank God. Like, the SEC was also not as good, which I kind of predicted, as people thought. But thank God, like, Kentucky and them, because the whole SEC is better than Big Ten and basketball thing. I always thought that narrative was dumb just because of how bad the bottom SEC schools are. Like, Georgia is a D2 school as far as I'm concerned. Ole Miss is awful as well. Like, I don't know. It's a lot of just terrible basketball in the SEC. Big Ten is a little more coherent, with the exception of, like, Penn State. But Yeah. The Big Ten is a mess right now. Like, Illinois, obviously, you know, they have their run and stuff, but yeah.
Okay, so now we are going to do a little list, our top five coaches that we would like to walk on for. Now, this is not our top five coaches that we want to go play college basketball for if we are five-star, top 10 players in the nation. This is teams that we would like to walk on for, maybe earn a scholarship one day. Maybe we're like a preferred walk-on. So maybe we play a little bit, but we're not necessarily future NBA players. So that being said, I'm going to start with you, Gabe. Who is your number? Do you own top five or top three coaches that you would?
I think more thought into my top three than five. But I can do either for sure.
All right, because why don't we do? How about you, Gabe? Do you have five or do you want to just do three?
I guess I'd rather do. We could do either one.
All right, let's do top three.
Okay,
and we will we'll send people off about their day. Our listeners have very busy lives. They're very popular. Very busy individuals. That's why they listen to our show, because we're so relatable to them. So we will we'll do top three and send them off into Sweet 16 weekend. But Gabe, who's your number three coach that you'd like to play for?
All right, my number three was a tie between Drew Valentine and James Jones. So Drew Valentine's at Loyola Chicago, James Jones is at Yale. The reasoning for those two being they have good basketball programs, especially Loyola Chicago, but also I'm not going league, you know, might as well get a degree from two very, very good colleges, you know, be in Chicago or just a degree from Yale. You know, both of those are very valuable. And they're also quality basketball teams, especially Loyola. So that's my three. Do you want me to go with the other two?
Yeah, no. Let's go. We can go north. Okay. Good choice. Now, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Do we consider Tommy Amaker at Harvard, who is a great coach, has been around all over the country, has coached under the Coach K coaching tree. James Jones is great. I did interview EJ Jarvis. That should be somewhere in the podcast feed over the past couple of months. He plays for Yale, and he had nothing but good things to say, obviously, about his head coach. So I think that's a good choice. And, you know, of course, Lowell is a good school. Drew Valentine, potentially a future Michigan State head coaching candidate when Izzo leaves. But I feel like maybe Harvard, would that be a good option?
That's also up there. I literally was looking at, like, current tournament teams, and
yeah,
that was part of it.
Yeah. Okay. Goose, you want to go ahead with your
number three? I had Jay Wright, Villanova head coach. He always says his team's playing really well, really sound basketball. seems like a great guy, great coach, obviously. All teams are always very well coached. And there's a lot of veterans on his team. Just seems like a great environment to play basketball in.
Yeah, and I respect that. I feel like Jay Wright, if he really wanted to, he could be the coach of the 76ers right now. But he stuck it out with Villanova after winning the Netty. You got to respect that. Two national championships in 3 years. And Villanova could win their third national championship in the Jay Wright era in just a couple short weeks. They are in.
But they won't because they have to play Michigan.
As they won't. Now they it's do. True. Yeah, that is true. No. In all seriousness, we didn't even do that. What's do you guys have score predictions or game predictions for the Villanova Michigan game?
I think Michigan is going to. I think they're going to win. Honestly, Villanova doesn't have a good matchup for Hunter Dickinson.
And that is true.
That has really been the problem for both the teams we played against, and Villanova will have that same problem. So I don't really see why the outcome will be any different.
So for me, I haven't watched Villanova, but from what I heard on Twitter, like Villanova's a smaller team. They're not that good in the paint. So they're going to send multiple guys at Dickinson. And if that's the case, and then we hit open threes, then I like Michigan. But I really don't
open,
know.
Brandon Jones open.
Yeah.
Brandon Jones could be wide open. He'll hit like the top of the backboard. That's not the point.
Yeah.
Jackson, who is your number three? Most desired head coach.
I had a lot of candidates. I'll give some honorable mentions. I love Mike Bray at Notre Dame. Classic when he wore shorts on the sideline against Duke. This past season, but last season. It was the middle of January. It was negative. The temperature was negative degrees Fahrenheit outside. He's wearing shorts. They got blown out by over 40 points. So it was a great moment. He's known to be the loosest man in college basketball. Very, very good guy. So a fun interview. I think Mike Bray will be fun to play for. Josh Pastner. Great guy, Georgia Tech. So there are a few good ones. Chris Holtman at Ohio State. But can we get number three for me? I'm going to go.
No.
What?
Ohio State, no.
Ohio State, Gabe, the Ohio State Zed Keys, you're hating on the Buckeyes? What is this?
Yeah, the players just they're like High School Musical. They just do TikToks in the locker room. I'm good. Oh, I know what
I'm saying. I mean, you can't say that as a Michigan fan, I feel, honestly.
Oh, goddamn, I forgot about that. Nah, never mind. Yeah, go play for him.
I ain't gonna hit on that. It's like key friend of the program. 6 offensive rebounds yesterday. It was very impressive. Ohio State played well, but they did fall to the Villanova Wildcats. But I do like Chris Holman. He seems like a good guy. Like every year he does like that. He works at like the Raisin Cane's like on campus, and he's like surveying all the, like he's very involved with the student body. He just seems like a very good guy. Another good interview. Number three, however, I'm going to go with Ron Hunter, coach of Tulane. He is very magnanimous, very energetic, very passionate individual. Obviously coached his son at Georgia State, fell off his stool. So he broke it. He tore his Achilles celebrating after Georgia State won their conference championship game. Tore his Achilles. He's in a cast, so he has to sit on the stool while he's coaching in the tournament. Georgia State was a 14 seed, and
I believe against Baylor.
Yeah, it was against Baylor. It was a 3 seed, and his son RJ Hunter hits a big time 3, down 2 points to go up 1 with just a few seconds remaining in that game. Georgia State went on to win, and Ron Hunter fell out of his chair. He was so excited after that shot. He's like just the night. He does a ton for charity. He just seems like the coolest dude. So I feel like he would be a blast to play for. And I feel like he's a pretty good coach from what I've heard. I haven't watched a lot of Tulane, obviously, but I would have to imagine that to be that passionate about your job, that you've got to be a pretty good coach. So I would say Ron Hunter would be my number 3 guy.
I know what shot you're talking about, but beyond that, I haven't looked into him a whole ton, but I'm sure he would be a good pick.
Okay, Goose, why don't you go ahead with your number 2?
My number 2 would probably be Juwan Howard. Very passionate coach. Loves his players, even loves players that aren't on his team. Just goes hard all the time, and I respect it.
Goes hard in the paint.
Also, the Michigan's bench mob is ridiculous, too. And I feel like any coach who can foster that type of energy on the bench from their walk-ons is somewhere I would want to be.
Bench mob, like their celebrations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every basket, it's unreal.
Yeah. And they always, though, even under Beeline, I feel like they're always good about it.
I don't think they were ever quite like this bench mob this year.
Okay. Maybe not.
I promise you, they go crazy every basket.
Last year, though, they were pretty.
Yeah. I mean, they get it from Adrian Nunez, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking of TikToks.
Yeah.
Okay, Gabe, who's your number two?
All right, so I think I'm going to go Jay Wright. Mark Few was a candidate as well. But, you know, Villanova.
Mark Few was a candidate, you said?
Yeah.
Why? What?
Gonzaga's good at basketball. I don't know. He was
a lower natties, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
he's going for the Kendrick Perkins 2016 cast.
I'm going for that. No, but Jay Wright, you know, we've seen multiple players play at Nova for a while and have success. Coach LeBron,
I would play for Frank Vogel.
we've seen people have success in their second half of their college career at Nova, and I think you know that, yeah, and you know, yeah, Nova just seems like a good option.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but to be as good as they are perennially while not being a one and done type program, while being a program where they get 4-year guys like Gillespie, like Jalen Brunson before him, like Dante DiVincenzo, wasn't a 4-year guy, but he's a 3-year guy, I think.
It might have been 2 years, honestly.
And some of the guys who expect to be one and dones from Nova just don't work out. Like Cornelius had success at Bama. But, you know, he went there and people thought he was going to be, you know, potentially a one and done guy. He'll think it was a 5-star coming out and he wasn't.
Right. Yeah. Like Justin Moore will be an NBA player, but he's, right. He's not a one and done guy. So there are plenty of examples in recent history of great Villanova.
Was Bridges a high recruit?
Coming Pascal.
Mikal Bridges was a 3-year player, I think.
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay, so he wasn't even.
And I was looking at his college stats recently for no reason, but I think he was 3-year player.
Yeah, so that would be a fun atmosphere. You're not like getting a bunch of these insane freshmen who are just going to leave after you. You get to build relationships with
that too.
And the guys on the team, so that would be fun. Okay, number two. I'm going to go with. Let me pull my notes because I know one of the two, and I got to decide if this is the right choice. Okay, I'm going to go with Eric Musselman, the Mus Bus.
Okay.
He was
in my top five.
Musselman's great. He's like, he's done, I talk about like great interviews. He's a tremendous interview. I've listened to the most like of his interviews, like Tyson Tate, I've interviewed him a bunch of times. Pardon My Takes, had him on a bunch of times. Avid Pardon My Take listener, which I think is hilarious. He says that he listens to Pardon My Take while he's putting like the game plans together. Now, we here at the Bragman Breakdown, we don't endorse Barstool. We don't endorse El Presidente despite his Michigan fan. But I do like Pardon My Take. I like those guys, I will say.
Dave Portnoy's not a Michigan fan. I don't care.
Did he graduate from Michigan?
Who cares, man? He's a betting fan. He'd take Michigan. He'd take Villanova money line. He's not a fan. I will say though, I know betting is crazy. This is a topic for another time, but betting is crazy. I had this revelation.
Yeah, it's just going. It's going too
based
far.
Based on Vegas odds, my brother took Iowa State over Wisconsin. It was so crazy. Because of the money on. All the money that was on Wisconsin, my brother was like, yeah, Iowa State's going to win. Despite looking like the worst team in the field, then they won. It was insane. It's crazy. But that's so. Yeah, I know.
That's a wild concept.
It is. But beyond the point, Jackson, who is your number?
Some Musselman. You got the Mus Bus. Obviously led Nevada to the Sweet 16 with the Martin Twins and comes to Arkansas. They've had nothing but success. I actually had them losing to Vermont in the first round this year because I don't think their team outside of J.D. Notte is very good this year. And Notte has not even played that well in the first two rounds. And they are still through to the Sweet 16. So the fact that they're in the Sweet 16 this year and the fact that they were in the Elite Eight last year is incredibly impressive, considering that next year, I believe they have the number one, if not number one, then they have one of the top three recruiting classes in the country. So they're going to be very good next year. They're certainly going to be a top five team in the country, with a coach as good as the Must Bus. And I think that they're going to have a lot of success for a very long time and bring the SEC back to prime. I feel like the SEC might be the best conference in college basketball at this point, all things considered. Obviously, you talked about that earlier, and there are a lot of bottom feeders of the conference, but all, you know, with Auburn and Kentucky and Alabama and all these programs.
So three flukes, three frauds.
Well, this year maybe, but at Tennessee,
Auburn's good. They just peaked too early. Auburn
were frauds.
That is true. That is very true.
Alabama. It was very predictable they were going to lose their first.
They could have made a Final Four run. I would not have been like shocked. I would have been pretty shocked actually. If they made the Sweet 16, I would not have been that surprised, because they're so inconsistent. Yeah, they can beat anyone. I feel like they can lose to anyone. So I was not surprised they lost Notre Dame at all. I just had them beating Notre Dame and losing the next round, I believe. But regardless, I think the Musselman is great. Yeah, you have Mariah Musselman's daughter. It was like that, like interviewed Sister Jean when Loyola went up against Arizona a couple of years ago in the tournament. Or that would have been Nevada back in the day. So yeah, so that was great. So the Mariah Musselman meme versus the Loyola meme. Eric Musselman, it just seems like a fun time, like ripping his shirt off, celebrating wins. He says he does these like he has these incredible like motivation tactics for his team, where it's like does these crazy like stunts to just like hype his team. He's just like an awesome guy. I feel like he would be a ton of fun to play for. So he's my number two. I might be talking myself into having him number one, but for now I'm number two.
Fortunately, he is my number one. You kind of stole my thunder a bit, but yeah. Him and even though we just talked about Alabama being slightly fraudulent, I feel like Nate Oates, also another guy, would not mind
playing. No.
Solely on the fact that I know Nate Oates, had we not offered Juwan the job, probably would have been the Michigan head coach had he not accepted the Alabama head coaching job.
It definitely would have been Ed Cooley.
It would have, but Nate Oates already took the Alabama job. Had he not, and he was still a Buffalo, I think he would be Michigan's head coach right now. But beyond the point, I think Eric Musselman would be a fantastic guy to play for, which is why he was my number one. Jackson stole my thunder a bit, but nonetheless, still a great guy.
Yeah, it's a good pick. Gabe, your number one choice.
Well, I'm not a good player in this situation. So I want to go somewhere where it'll be a fun environment. Who else is going to make sure his players has more fun than Rick Pitino? Strip clubs every weekend, casinos, you name it. Come on, I'm playing for Rick.
You know what they said? Well, they said the devil works hard, but Rick Pitino works harder. I mean, if he's providing for the walk-ons, then I would play for him too.
That's the problem. Is I feel like Pitino's providing on visits for his five-star guys. Like, is Pitino much time and effort into making sure the walk-ons have a good time?
He spreads the love. Come on, of course he does.
Once I'm on the team, yes.
At the very least, you can get hookups from the other star players. Maybe hypothetically.
Okay, folks, this was fun. Do enjoy your sweet set. How are the brackets looking, by the way?
Mine's horrific.
Yeah, you and I won the championship game. I had them in the final.
To be fair, if UCLA loses this weekend, my bracket will be better than Jackson's.
I think 62%. So not good.
So we're still. I have UCLA beating Arizona in the championship game. So it could happen. Go ahead, Gabe. No comment.
Your internet's so bad. Mine's trash though. Mine's trash.
Yeah. So how's your bracket looking right now?
62%. I have Gonzaga winning for no reason other than no team seems good enough to win, so I just picked Gonzaga.
I said this in the last pod too. No team this year is as good as as Gonzaga or Baylor were last year.
Not even close.
Yeah, like those got teams were just on a different level. I feel like last year, two of the better teams in the last decade. I will pat myself on the back. I said this was going to be one of the. I don't know if it's been one. It's been one of the wildest tournaments in recent memory. Like all of the one seeds have either lost or had scares this past weekend. Even Kansas won by like 9, but they were tied with Creighton late. So all the one seeds had scares. We saw a 15 seed make the Sweet 16. We've since seen some crazy stuff. Like who thought Iowa State would be in the Sweet 16? Michigan's in the Sweet 16. So many double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16. It's been a pretty kooky start to March Madness. So I will pat myself in the back there. And I will say, I do have UCLA beating Arizona in the championship game in my bracket. However, after the TCU game, the way that Arizona persevered and fought through the adversity of that game, and Jamie Dixon is a genius. He is a brilliant basketball coach, and TCU is a very, very good team. I think that Arizona is going to win the national championship based on what I've seen in these first two games. They look great against Wright State. I saw the highlights of that game. I didn't see it live, but I think that Arizona's going to win it because in college basketball today, you really like what I realized is you need to have a really good guard and a really good big to win March Madness. I feel like it's that it's very simple, but I feel like you have to have a good guard and a good big. Like Villanova does not have a very good big. Gillespie's great. Gillespie, dude's down and he is fearless. They just don't have the size.
I agree. I think maybe the one. I think maybe the one other thing you might need is at least one player who can get their own shot. At least one player.
Yeah, I think that kind of factors into the guard part.
Maybe I modify that. I don't know. Yeah. But Michigan is a good guard, in my opinion. Maybe not great.
No, I mean, if you don't have a good point guard, so that's why I love UCLA too so much because of Tiger Campbell. And then Jules Bernard and Johnny Juzang have been, especially Bernard has been lights out the last month. He's playing the best. He's the hottest player on UCLA, maybe in the country. He's been incredible. So I still like UCLA's chances. I do think they best Gonzaga if those two teams do play in a rematch of last year's Final Four. But it'll be fun. I think once we get closer to the championship, there'll be a lot of exciting matchups, and it'll be fun. So I'm looking forward to it. Fellas, thank you. Enjoy.
Do you have to give us your last head coach you want to play for?
Not?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. We kind of heard you wrapped up. I totally forgot. Tony Bennett. Oh, okay. Tony Bennett, because he seems like I'd love to go play some Bennett ball. That slow, grindy, muck it up pace. He seems like there's so many college basketball coaches that are enigmas and personalities. Like we see Bruce Pearl and we see John Calipari, who might be fun to play for a week. And then it might get old because they're just they're these larger than life characters in college basketball. But I feel like Tony Bennett is the most down to earth, genuine, just good person in the sport. Now, and I might be wrong, and I obviously don't know him personally, but he just seems the most I remember his interview after the Tracy Wilson interviewed him after Virginia lost to UMBC, and he was just so he said the perfect answer. He's always very eloquent and smart guy, very genuine, just good and good guy. So I feel like I would like to play for Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett and Musselman, they're kind of tied first. So yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Thank you guys. Gabe, very quietly. You okay over there? You feeling all right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, your internet is so trash, bro.
Don't worry, we're recording. Your internet is so trash.
I feel like if I say something, it's gonna pop. Yeah, you guys don't understand what I'm hearing. It's
a robot. I've been on the other end of this too. I know what's happening.
Okay. Yeah, and so if I speak, I'm scared it's gonna come up 30 seconds later because that used to happen to me and Xavier. So I was let me just. They got it.
Okay. Yeah. Don't worry. I think we're good.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Thank you guys, and thank you guys for listening to the Bragman Breakdown podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Bragman Breakdown Pod, and stay tuned for more great March Madness content: squash, wrestling, basketball, football, all of the above, baseball. Stay tuned. We'll see you guys next time. Hand with the peace, boys.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.